If we stand here long enough, they'll quiet down.
What was that?
If we stand here long enough, they'll quiet down. I gotta get this thing up.
You tell me when.
Okay. Go ahead.
One of the scribes came up and heard them arguing, and recognizing that he had answered them well, asked him, "What commandment is the foremost of all?" Jesus answered, the foremost is, "Hear, Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these." And the scribe said to him, "Well said, teacher, you have truly stated that he is the one, and there is no other besides him. And to love him with all the heart, and with all the understanding, and with all the strength. And to love one's neighbor as oneself is much more than all the burnt offerings and sacrifices." When Jesus saw that he had answered intelligently, he said to him, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." And then no one dared any longer question him.
Thank you, Evan. Well, you know where I'm going today. Now I just have to get the technology working. I was going to do this earlier, but I wasn't sure that the battery would hold up that long. Well, you like the lesson so far? I think maybe I'm having one of those senior moments here. I can't find what I'm looking for. What's the subheading to get presenter on the computer? What's the subheading?
Sunshine.
Oh, I got it. Thanks. It just came to me. Alt F5. I'm getting too old for all this technology. I remember my dad never wanted a computer. He wouldn't have one in the house. He says, "I'm too old. I can't handle it." It's like phones used to have that little round dial on it. And now they're these things and they track you everywhere. Anyway. Too many buttons. What foreign car is that? How about that one? I got several of them here. That one's kind of different.
There you go.
Ah, thank you, Howard. You keep me alive up here. How about that one? What? Well, that one kind of gives it away. That I don't know whether that's mud bogging or sand duning. I like Bill's comment. That's American, right? Yeah. Yeah. I think that's kind of one that you might find some highfalutin person using. I must admit, I've never seen the pickup truck. Anybody ever see it as a pickup truck? I haven't. I have not seen the Sprite either. though I think it must be a basketball fan. I don't know why. How would you like to drive around town in a turtle? Well, what's common about all of those? There's the core. At the base of every one of those cars is one of those things. All the rest of it is shell. Well, I'm probably not going to be talking about cars today. What is really at the core of each vehicle, and what is at the core of the church? We have different shells. The shell doesn't change the core. It's still the same on the inside. In this case, it's still a VW bug. But what is the church? Well, that's kind of small, isn't it? I'll read it for you in case you can't read it from back there. You know, Donna may be struggling to see. So, the word is ecclesia. It is a calling out. It's related to a religious congregation, a Jewish synagogue, a Christian community. It doesn't matter whether it's on earth or whether it's in heaven. It's a called out. So when we see that word in the Greek, we translate it either assembly or church. The church is not this thing. The church is you. And sometimes we miss that and we get focused on this. Or we get focused on the presentation or the song or whatever it happens to be. We focus in different places. The church is the called out. In Acts 7, verse 37, I told Howard I wasn't going to wander, but I'm still going to wander around now, I guess. The circumstance behind this statement, which came from Stephen, was that he was about to be stoned to death, basically, for being a Christian and proclaiming Jesus as the Son of God. And as he makes his rebuttal to those who were there, he talked about Moses and the instructions that Moses gave to the nation of Israel. And part of that instruction was, he said, God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brethren. What should they do with a prophet? What was Israel told to do when they were to receive a prophet? They were to listen. It brings to my mind the Mount of Transfiguration. We've got Jesus there. And we've got three of Jesus' disciples. There's Moses, and there's Elijah. And Peter is just thrilled. I don't know how he knew it was Moses and Elijah, but he did. And the response was, let's build a tabernacle for each of you. And immediately, Moses and Elijah were gone. And there was just Jesus and a voice from heaven saying, this is my son, hear him. What is it that Israel should have done with the prophet? They should have listened to him, and they didn't. This is the one, Stephen continued, who was in the church in the wilderness together with the angel. And they went up to Mount Sinai and they got the 12 commandments on tablets of stone. Have you ever noticed that there was a church in the wilderness? Yeah. How is it that Israel was a church? Well, what's the meaning of church? The called out. What is it that Israel was called out of? Egypt. And by being called out of Egypt to follow God, they were known as the church in the wilderness because that's where they were. You know, like a church at Midland, a church at St. Louis, wherever it happens to be, we still refer to it. Now, here's one that's in the wilderness. And so at Mount Sinai, God started talking to the entire nation. And they said, stop or we're going to die. We can't take this. It's too loud. It's too pure. It's too honest. Moses, you go up the mountain and you get what God's trying to tell us. You come back and talk to us and we'll do what you say. Here's what happened. Philip continues in saying, our fathers were unwilling to be obedient to him, but repudiated him and in their hearts turned back to Egypt. On the outside, their shell, they were the church in the wilderness. They were the called out of Egypt. They were recognized as the Jehovah followers. Even when they got to the promised land, remember Rahab knew right off the bat who they were and what they stood for and the power of the God that was behind them. They were recognized as the church in the wilderness. And yet, their hearts were in Egypt. Their core was not Jehovah. Their core was Egypt. Well, let's bring it to Wheeler Road. How is it that this group is a church? What does it mean to be a member of the Church of Jesus? Well, what are we called out of? We can say we're called out of the world, but that implies something more than just, you know, Main Street. We're called out of sin. That's what we're called out of. I know, we don't all do a great job of that. But that's what Jesus has called us. That's what we are. We are the called out to follow Jesus. In Romans 6:22, it reads, but now having been freed from sin and enslaved to God, you derive your benefit resulting in sanctification and the outcome, eternal life. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. But it's more than hearing. He continues, and follow me. You know, a kid can hear what the parent says for them to do and not do it, right? Hearing doesn't complete the action. Hearing what Jesus said, being called out of sin, doesn't complete what we need to do. A little behind here. Too many buttons. I'm getting confused. Christianity can be a shell. It can be an outer covering, if you will, that makes us look like a turtle to drive around in, right? And you know, it's relatively easy to put on the shell and to say we're part of the church. That's relatively easy to do. core is a lot harder. It demands something of us. It's not our choice. It's something that God is asking of us from our very core of who we are. Most of the time we see the shell. In fact, our identity, what we are and how we are recognized, that's the shell. Who we are as a congregation is the core. The shell comes in with things like our assembly, our songs, the sermon, the things that we do when we're together. They make us feel good because we're doing good. You know, we have a food pantry here. Makes people feel good because we're doing something good. But that's still not the core of what this group, this called out group, is to be. And we can get comfortable with that shell. It causes our identity. And it's repetitive. I mean, most of you are here every Sunday, and most of you go through the same thing every Sunday. It's repetitive, and it gives us that good feeling. And maybe it gives a good impression to others, like visitors. But there's more. And I'm talking today about more than just what's on the surface. Yeah, I've been reproved by other Christians. not attacked, but reproved. I've had thoughts presented to me over the years from many different Christians, and I've pondered them, wondered about them. as you probably noticed at the beginning, I'm getting old enough that I miss things. I stand here. Bill can wander all over. He keeps everything in his head. And I know Jim used to memorize his sermon, so it didn't matter where he was standing, but I'm getting to the point where if I'm going to remember to present to you the thoughts that I had when I was putting this together, I got to stand here, because it's all up here. It's not up here anymore. I think that's age. I like to think it is. Some of what I was once taught, in all good conscience and honesty, people who were good people, who spent their lives studying the Word of God, taught me things that they truly believed was the truth from God. And I believed it too. And I was wrong. I've preached sermons that there's no way in the world I could present to anybody today because they're wrong. They're not showing what Jesus died on the cross for. I was following the honest understanding of men. I needed to follow the voice of Jesus. And there's only one place you're going to hear it, and that's in the Bible. We bring baggage with us, all of us. We have experiences in life, and we have things that we have learned in our life. And things we've learned from other people about the Bible. And that all gets meshed together in our heads in the way in which we understand what God is saying. And sometimes we're wrong. The writings were to a different group of people with different experiences and different lives. And we have to take that into consideration as we look at what the Bible is telling us. I need to follow the voice of Jesus. It has taken me away from my early Christian roots to change my shell. The core remains the same. To do my best to be devoted in love to my God and to treat my neighbor as I would treat myself. That's the core. That's what Jesus told these people, because there was a second Exodus. Maybe you've heard of the second Exodus. The first one, we all recognize, that was out of Egypt. The second one was out of sin. To come out of Egypt, the church in the wilderness. To come out of sin, to the church of Jesus. Jesus made us free in his church. He doesn't want us to fuss and to divide over the shell. I might divide over the core, but not the shell. Statements like, my church is better than your church. Really? What if I had to move away from my shell? You know, my job takes me to Siberia or something. I'm not with the shell anymore. Does my core change because the shell changes? Would you still have your relationship with God if you weren't here in this shell? Jesus pleaded with his church for unity. Color of skin, political ideologies, the style of our worship, the arrangement of pews or chairs or the color of the floor, that's all shell. That's what visitors see when they come. That's the shell. And it should be good. I'm not arguing that. But it's who we really are as the called out. Jesus was asked, what is the greatest command? It was a raging debate of the time. Now, what had the scribe heard? It's interesting what he heard before he asked Jesus and why he asked Jesus. The Sadducees, see, they were sad, you see, because they didn't believe in the resurrection. Sorry, I had to throw some pun in here, yeah. And so they came to Jesus and they posed an impossible question. Except Jesus was God and you can't put him over a barrel. He said, okay, here was this woman, and according to the law of Moses, if her husband dies, the brother is to marry her and raise up children under the name of the brother. That was under the law of Moses. So now, this woman's husband dies, and she takes the brother, and then that brother dies, and then there's another one, and he dies, and then there's a... They counted up seven of them. A big family, I guess. And they said, okay, in the resurrection, whose wife is she going to be? And Jesus said, you err, not knowing the scriptures. Man, that was a slap in the face. You don't know the scriptures and you don't know the power of God. Because you don't understand that it's not male and female in the giving in marriage in the hereafter. You've totally missed it, guys. And here's this scribe sort of in the background and he hears that response and he's impressed. And so he comes to Jesus and he says, what's the greatest command? Now, if you were going to go sorting for the greatest command, where would you start looking? Why, the Ten Commandments, of course. Remember, you're a Jew in the nation of Israel. Which of those commands is the greatest? I'm getting behind here on my notes. And his response blew them away. He says, love God with all your heart and soul and mind and strength. That's number one. Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. That comes from Deuteronomy 6, verse 5. Not even close to the Ten Commandments. And the second, love your neighbor as yourself. That comes from Leviticus 19:18. If you have the time sometime, go look them up. And that fulfills all of the Old Testament commands. There were 600 and some commands in the Old Testament. Those two cover everything. All the sacrifices, all the things that the Jewish nation had to do. Love God, love your neighbor. And I propose to you that God is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. What is it that we need to do as the church? What is the core of our being called out? Not some ritual, not some process that we go through, but to love God with our whole self. That's hard. You know it. I know it. You've tried it. I've tried it. It's hard. And what's even more difficult is to love your neighbor as yourself. I have a hard time with that. There are certain individuals I would rather deck than look at. But God doesn't give me that right. God tells me, love your neighbor as yourself. And I tend not to deck myself. Although, as I get older, I have more of a tendency to strive for face plants. I guess that's kind of decking one. But will I do for another when it conflicts with what I want? Am I listening to Jesus and following his voice, or am I listening to my own desire and what it is that I want to do? What did Jesus ask for? Hear him. Peter says, since you have in obedience to the truth purified your souls for a sincere love of the brethren, fervently love one another from the heart. There are individuals that you love to love. It kind of came up in Bill's class today. There are certain people that you love to love. They're very lovable people. And then there are others that just are fingernails on a chalkboard. And they drive you nuts. But God didn't say, love the lovable. Love your neighbor as yourself. Oh yeah, who's the neighbor? Well, Jesus answered that too. Whole story about that. That's another sermon. It's easier to stick with the shell. It's easier to just do church. You know what doing church is all about. We have a tendency to go that direction. So what has changed in your relationship with God since you were baptized? That's an interesting question. I mean, I spent some time thinking about that. And has enough changed? Have I done what I'm supposed to be doing? Am I listening to Jesus? It's not some big jump off the bridge kind of event. My life wasn't terribly bad at the point where I became a Christian. I wasn't an evil person. You know, I wasn't going around shooting people and things like that. It wasn't a huge change. But what does change is little tweaks to your life here and there. To hear and to follow Jesus. And that's what we need to keep working on. That's what I need to keep working on to get better at my Christianity. I appreciate your introduction to communion today. It was thoughtful. I don't know. I don't remember. Is it here? See? I don't remember. No, it's not up here. You've seen a lot of podiums, though, that have on the front of it, do this in remembrance of me. That's the directive that Jesus gave. What do you remember? Well, how did Jesus love God? You're right, with his whole self. Jesus could go off at night and pray all night long. I've never done that. I tried once. I got in about half an hour and woke up the next morning. You know, it's hard for long prayers unless there's something else going on inside of you that allows that to happen, or stresses from the outside. How did Jesus love his neighbor? Well, there's dozens of examples in the Bible. How did he love the woman at the well? How did he love the Pharisees? How did he love Lazarus? How did he love the woman caught in adultery? How did he love the 10 lepers, none of which but one actually thanked him? Follow Jesus. It's hard. Treat people the way Jesus treated people, with honesty, integrity, and what we talked about in class, agape love. The core of Christianity is to be like Jesus. And that's a lifelong task. To hear and to follow him. Jesus again said, "My sheep hear my voice and follow me." You can't follow if you don't hear. Spend some more time in the book. Listen to what he's saying and what he's showing you to do. We have before us the opportunity to be a shell-driven church or the opportunity to be a core-driven church. We have that choice. We have that opportunity, each one of us playing a part, because the church is made up of all of its members. It's not just the elders, way more than that. It's relatively easy for us to get caught up in the actions and activities of the shell. I'm not saying those are bad. They're important. They generate a feeling, a cohesiveness amongst us, and it makes us feel good because we're doing good. But I propose to you, it is challenging to live as one called out of sin by Jesus, to follow the two great commands that he gave, which are universal, Old Testament, New Testament, doesn't matter. We need to be listening to him. We need to be doing life as he says for us to do it. That is the core of the church that Jesus died to save. And once again, it is challenging, as we have been trying to do. It is life-changing. Again, not necessarily a jump off the bridge kind of change, but a gradual progression of change in your life to be more like Jesus. That is being the Church of Christ. Thank you for your time.